This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 385 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. Joining me from Melbourne, once again, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
I'm good.
Psychotically recovered?
Oh, I had a psychotic break, so I must be. I broke psychotically.
Right, you sound a little hesitant with the good.
No, I was just listening to the intro again and going, you got to say something different once in a while. You know,
do I?
I want you to think up a whole new beginning of the show. Right. Do we have music?
I love the fact that 200 episodes on since you started, you still don't know what this podcast sounds like.
Is that a bad thing or a good thing?
Oh, dear. There is a 10-second intro with a voiceover and a bit of music and some sound effects of camera shutters.
Okay, so the next music person you have in the studio, some famous music-y type person.
Yeah, that'd be Dragon tomorrow morning.
Who?
Dragon.
No, that someone whose lead singer's not already dead.
Well, they have a new lead singer.
Yeah, but that doesn't count.
Okay.
That does not count. So next time you have like a real, actual artist, I'm not talking about one of your Australia's top model singery show people.
Yeah.
Yeah, actual real people.
Right.
I want you to grab them quickly for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And skip to sing a new Shutters Inc. intro that we can launch on episode 400. Shutters Inc., you listen now. Ow! Something like that, you know? Get to do a little something like that, you know? And then Bruce will come in. Hi, I'm Bruce. Whatever my name is from Thingamajiggy Podcast. And we also talk to the other guy who's in Melbourne sometimes. Welcome to episode We Lost Track. Right. Something like that, see?
That sounds way more professional.
There you go. It works, doesn't it? So all we need to do is get famous person to sing, Shazik, we're here now. Something like that. Yeah. Away we go. Done?
I shall take it under consideration.
Do you know who's coming up? Do you have any famous folks coming up?
I've got the script coming in next week.
Who?
The script.
Okay, next.
They're an Irish band and they're bloody good. I'm really looking forward to having them in.
Are they a cappella?
No.
See, like an a cappella. One could with the voice. And like, it could do a whole like rhythm shutter zing. One could make like shutter noises with his mouth. You know? Not with a silent mirrorless camera shows, because that's like, which is no good at all. Yeah, you want the old fashioned clunk, like an old Hasselman. Come on, shutter. That makes a big noise, you know. And then one guy can do like the flash recycle noise. Yeah, one can do that noise. And the Shutters Inc. Something like that. So the next a cappella group you get on.
The next a cappella group.
As long as they're on before episode 400. Yeah. Here's a job for you next week. Start recording the sounds of Hasselblad shutters going clonk, clonk, and flashes cycling, and maybe some pop, pop, pop of flashes going off, you know? And maybe a little bit of sound from like the reflex, yeah. From was that Duran Duran?
You can't do that. It's copyright.
No, just getting some ideas for the sound and getting to imitate it.
Oh, dear.
Are we in?
Apologies to anybody who tuned into this podcasting expecting hearing about photography.
I think we should. But this is we're talking. We're making photo sounds. How much more photography? Oh, I'll tell you what. Here's one. Here's a great idea.
Yeah.
Let's get them to make the sound of paper developing in chemicals.
let's all watch the grass grow.
There you go. I reckon There's some merit.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Tell me about your weekend.
Well, it started on a Saturday and ended on a Sunday.
Right. The last one you had in particular.
Oh, that one. No, well, so we went to, we had my psychotic break weekend up in the old Ararat. It was interesting. You know, life is always complex and, you've always got to be trying to fix stuff up that's going wrong the whole time and, trying to solve problems and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yep.
Well, little stuff up. Not my part. Me and little Miss Dave Oakley, we showed up at in Ararat on the Friday and before the event started, before everyone sort of arrived that night, and we hadn't actually been able to get full access to all of the mental asylum to get an idea of where we were going to shoot.
Right.
So I'd organised to meet with the caretaker, who I'd never met before, on the Friday, and he'd give us a bit of a look-see.
Right.
So I've called him up 5 minutes from town, and the phone did ring a few times more than I was hoping. It started to get a bit worried.
Yeah.
He answered the phone. We went to meet him and have a little chat. And he goes, oh, sorry. Okay, so you want to come in tomorrow? Yes. You realize everything's closed tomorrow. There's nothing's open tomorrow. Yeah. You better shoot at the outside of the building. We won't be able to get inside.
Oh, you're kidding.
I said, but hang on. but the head guy, Julian, the head guy, he said we could have access to any of the 68 buildings we wanted, anywhere you want. He goes, well, could probably do that during the week, but not on the weekend because there's no one here.
Oh, what?
but Peter.
So who had the keys? Who had to open up?
Well, the caretaker. Well, so after, and then he started going on about, look, the last time we let photographers, a few times ago, we let some photographers in here unsupervised, and they did all this sort of obscene nude stuff in like the morgue and in the kitchens and in the old swimming pool and stuff that was quasi porn,
right?
And blasted it everywhere on the internet.
Oh,
and the CEO of who looks after the whole thing found out.
Oops.
And non-impressed, shall we say? So that sort of stuff's all been now. It's all going to be approved through security and blah 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 blah. And I'm going, well, we haven't got any of that. We just got the big guy said we could go in. He came up all the way from – he drove hours upon hours to come up to us to see us, to let us in and show us around. And he goes, tell you what, I'll come down tomorrow morning and I'll let you in. And if we go for a bit of walk around there, you can tell me where you where you want to shoot and I'll open those doors for you.
Right.
Oh, thank goodness. A good 10 minutes of sweet talking to get to that.
Yeah.
And I can be nice when I need to be. Yeah, I needed to be.
Yeah.
so he's given us a bit of walk around and said, look, what we're looking for is the rusty crusty, the falling down, the cruddy.
Yep.
Now, don't give us any of these nice clean places. Show us your worst. So he took us around and said, he'll be great. Half a dozen spots sort of thing. He goes, no worries, I'll come down in the morning, meet you at whatever, 9:30 or whatever it was. So we find it's a 9:30 show up and he lets us in. It was great. He was there, fabulous. And then he lets us into the first building and, he's sort of hanging around and, 10:30 comes by, he's still here, 11:30, he's still there, 12 o'clock, we're having lunch, he's still with us. I'm starting to feel bad because he hasn't got a no-lock to the other rooms. He's watching our gear whilst we're in, because we had so much gear.
Yeah.
And we had the dining room taken over with gear whilst we're in other parts of the building. He was looking after our gear because there's a tour group coming through.
Oh, wow. But I thought he said it wasn't going to be open.
Well, the tour group had their own keys.
Oh, okay.
So the guy who runs the tours has his own keys to the place.
Right.
So he lets himself in. And comes has lunch with us. Yeah. He's there the entire day till 4:30 that night, 5 o'clock that night with us.
Right.
He ran hungry around the whole day with us, and anywhere we wanted was the best guy ever.
Wow.
Yeah. Just gave us full access, just did everything for us. It was just bloody marvellous.
Awesome.
Could not have asked for better. And we got to shoot in lots of places and caught some pretty decent shots. And
yeah, I saw some of the images you've put up through the week. They were great.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And in the actual mental asylum, the best place was the very last location, which was a beast to get to. It was on the top of this tower. And you had to go up four flights of falling apart stairs, squeeze past this rotting floor that you're 5 stories up on this rotting floor. Ooh. You can see through. 5 stories straight down.
Jeez.
Climb up 2 metal ladders, and models doing this in a dress with hoops on.
Oh, no.
And up to the top of this thing, to the point where a couple of them didn't even want to do it because they were just a bit scared, worried about it. And, of course, that's when the best light of the entire thing showed up. And we got some fabulous shots because the light just went ka-cha! and gave us these awesome shots. So that's pretty cool. So the Saturday night, you know, so there's how many of us? It was 11 of us, right?
Right.
The Saturday night, the only way I can control cost is knowing how much things would cost beforehand. So I'd organised a set price at the local pub,
right.
Set price dinner.
Yep.
And they said, well, the only thing we can do is we can do a drop of meals. So it's going to be, you know, like a wedding. One person gets this, next person gets that, next person gets the first one, second one.
Right.
That's it. And we're going to do steak and we're going to do salmon. Well, right. That's okay. Yep. Seems pretty nice.
Yep.
Six people hate fish.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, I said, okay, so we've got uneven numbers here. There's a 50-50 chance if six people hate fish that they're going to give us six. They're going to give us six fish and five steak,
yeah.
Not six steak and five. And sure enough, six fish and five steak.
Oh, no.
I couldn't have gone the other way. But that was really good. Then Sunday we went out to the great winery at Preston. Into Seppel. They had a great time down there, came up, had some lovely lunch. A few people tried some wines. Then we did. Then we went out to Woodsy's yard, this old yard full of rotten, rusty old trucks.
Yep.
And shot their models there. And we also got to shoot Woodsy. And I flew my drone above. This is amazing. I'm 100 meters up in the air, filming our shoot going on, whilst Facebook living from the drone.
Wow.
Well, from the drone to the phone to Facebook Live.
Yeah, right.
So I Facebook Lived a bit of our shoot from up on high, which is quite astounding technology when you think about it.
Yes.
And then we bid everyone farewell and we came home exhausted and had a great time.
Awesome.
It went well. Everyone had a good time. Everyone got good photographs. A lot of the photographs, due to the locations, were shot at 15 mil.
Right, yep.
Yes, lots and lots of photos shot at 15 mil. Unfortunately, not everyone had 15 mil lenses.
No.
A couple of people had the Canon 16 to 35s.
Yep, which is close enough.
Well, you'd think, but of course the Canon 16 to 35 doesn't have image stabilized.
Right.
And when we were shooting in the under the winery in incredibly dark conditions,
yep.
At a quarter of a second handheld.
Oi, oi, oi.
My Tamron shot's sharp as a tack. Their Canon one's blurry as all get out.
Really?
Not the lens sharpness, but hand movement.
Yeah, right.
The difference between image stabilized and non-image stabilized.
Right.
The difference between shooting at a quarter of a second and shooting at 30 and shooting at 125th of a second.
Yeah.
This is five stop stabilizer. So wow. Shooting 125th of a second, all the photos were sharp. And so the point was, they shot them with a 16 to 35s. Then they put on my Tamron 15 to 30. Went and shot with it. Bang. Seriously sharp photos.
Yeah, right.
To the point that all three of them,
yep.
So three Canon shooters, two had 16 to 35s already. They all went out and bought 15 to 30s the next day.
Wow.
So it's a fair indicativeness, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of that. So, so it was a fabulous weekend.
Awesome.
Lots of good photos. I haven't even really looked at my photos, to be honest. I've looked at a couple of them. There's just no time. Too much other stuff to do.
Yeah.
And on to the next things, basically, you know.
But,
yeah. Because I finally wanted to get my phone fixed.
Well, hang on. Before we move on. I think we do need to pay serious homage to Glyn's Photoshop skills.
What?
The head.
Oh, no, that was a mistake. You like that?
I thought it was great.
It's pretty cool. So what Bruce is alluding to, the model we were using up there, now she wasn't a model, she was just a girl, she's into acting school,
yep.
And she really liked this photo on the back of the camera, and I'd done nothing with it. And she messaged me during the week and said, look, I really love that shot, can you send it to me? So yeah, I'll get onto it now for you. So I sent it to her, she goes, oh, my head looks a bit smaller than that. It doesn't look the same as it did in the back of the camera. My head looks small. So, well, you can't help what you got, girl. That's what you got. Yeah. And so I started. So I thought, oh, well, I'll enlarge it in post. And I used the new bloat and pinch liquify filters in Photoshop and warped ahead.
Yeah.
What I was trying to do was blow it up like a balloon.
Right.
Didn't quite work, but I liked what I got. Yeah. So when you say homage to Photoshop skills, oops, that happened by mistake. I'll keep it. That's much most of my lessons in Photoshop.
I thought it was hilarious. Anyway, your iPhone.
Yeah, so my iPhone, the camera, the shooting camera on my iPhone has been shot for a while because the image stabilizer has been shot.
Yeah.
And I said, I really want to get it fixed before I go to India. Finally popped into Apple Store. They said, yeah, no worries. We'll get it fixed, all under warranty, no problem at all. And I went off for an hour. They said 2 hours. I went off for almost 2 hours, came back, and they'd messaged me an hour earlier saying it was ready.
Wow.
It's like, there's no point messaging me when you've got my phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of pointless, guys. So it was really sad. So I went to pick it up, and the home button no longer worked.
Oh, what?
So they stuffed up the home button. And so I said, look, we can do this little fix here, but you'll have to go and back it up and then come back and we'll swap over to a new phone.
Right.
Okay, so went all the way home, backed up all my photos. Well, actually, I took off all my photos onto a hard drive anyway.
Yeah.
First, then I backed up my iPhone.
Yeah.
It took like an hour or so to do that. Backed it all up, bolted back down to the Apple Store. Sure enough, they erased my phone, gave me a new one. Came home, plugged the iPhone into hit restore from backup corrupt.
Oh, no.
Lost everything.
Are you kidding?
If it is, it's all gone because the backup's gone.
Oh. So what sort of things were in the backup?
I don't know.
So all your contacts are in the cloud?
Well, my contacts, they were in the cloud.
Yeah, good.
So that was okay.
Yeah.
Right. But all my apps, had to re-download all my apps.
Oh, jeez.
Nightmare. I had to download all them. I then had to try and log in all new passwords, put in new email, which I still managed to get sort of all email logins, yep. Logins to everything. All the progress I'd made in all my really important games lost. You know?
So
that's been a day of frustration, but still, yeah.
I thought you were going to say they took your phone back and said, we don't have any more sixes, we'll have to give you a seven, or we can give you an eight or something.
Nah, that's it straight away. You know, we've got exactly the same one still, the 6S Plus.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Can you give me the new X? That's not going to happen. But the good thing is, because I was going to update to a new phone with this new release anyway, but my wife's old iPhone was a bit on the fritz, her own personal one. She's got a business one,
right?
But her personal one. So she's now going to take my 6S Plus, which is now brand new, new battery, new, yep. Yeah. Yep. Just kind of, that works really well.
Yeah, cool. And you can buy a new X.
Well, I might. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might go the X. So I've been flying my drone a bit. I flew the drone, I said, over Woodsy's Field.
Yep.
I flew it over Arrowdale, the old mental asylum. Got some really cool shots from up there. Really, that was awesome. I'd love to spend more time doing it, but just did it at lunchtime. And I'm still not completely confident with having it a long way away from me.
Yeah.
Because on the drive up to Ararat, there was this old quarry I really, really wanted to go fly over. And it's got this really cool old rusty machinery. Well, me and Dave pulled over and flew it out. Over the quarry, and then, well, we couldn't see it anymore.
Right.
And I couldn't really see my screen, and I wasn't really sure which way it was pointing. And when I thought I was flying it home to me, it was getting further away, and it was howling wind.
Yeah, right.
and so the only thing I could do was hit the old return to home and pray that, because I hadn't actually set that up, I haven't done anything to set it up properly, pray it worked, because right. Otherwise it was somewhere 350 meters away from us, in who knows which direction, over a quarry.
Yeah, right.
So we're staring at where we flew it off to. We're watching. It's near 350 meters away, 250 meters away, 150 meters away, 50 meters away. We can hear it, but can't see it. And it comes over from the left of us. completely not where I expected it to.
Wow.
So that was one challenging thing. And then same afternoon, we saw this old ruined house on this property, this old stone cottage. So it was only, I don't know, a couple hundred yards off the road, the dirt road we were on.
Yep.
So I've flown it through these trees. I don't know, it's really sort of tricky thing, but all these gum trees, flown it through, flown it up, and we're looking over the top of the house. And once again, pretty windy. It's windy time of year here in Melbourne.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, the picture to the screen on your phone went black, lost signal.
Oh, no.
And it didn't come back on. And now I've got this drone in howling wind, close to a bunch of trees, a couple hundred meters away. I can still see it, but I'm not really sure which direction it's pointing or how far away from those trees it is.
Yeah.
And I had to manually fly it back, which I did. I got it back, no problem at all. But it's all this sort of learning curve. That's the only time it's lost signal so far.
Yeah.
So no idea what happened there.
Would it not have been safe enough just to elevate straight up so that you were higher than the trees and then just hit return home.
Yeah, but it was really close to the trees. I don't know if it was if the tree branches would be like hanging or not. I was doing some, for only it's like third flight, I was doing stupidly tricky. You get a little bit confident straight away. So this week's really been a week about when I've had a chance to get and have a little 5 minute fly here, a 10 minute fly there, just trying to get into knowing how the thing works properly. Yep. But I took it out in 50 kilometer an hour winds.
Wow.
Steady as a rock.
Wow.
I mean, steady as a rock. I took it out the other night and did 8 second long night exposures.
Seriously.
Not steady as a rock.
Right.
But it was howling wind.
Yep.
Which is fair enough. I think you could give it some leeway. Howling wind, 8 seconds. Not really sure what I was doing. So yeah, there's probably I think there's other modes I could have put in which would have made it even more stable.
Yeah, right. Probably,
like there's one called tripod mode, which is just as a hint. Now I think of now, just possibly may have been a better mode to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that kind of implies steadiness. Just faster. I'll try that next time. Yeah. So I've been having a lot of fun with that, which is really good.
Excellent.
I've been hanging out for my new Insta 360 One, the new Insta 360, but it hasn't arrived yet, which is disappointing.
Oh, okay.
So I've got work. Well, they sent it on Tuesday, but Australia Post these days is so slow to go from one suburb in Melbourne to another suburb in Melbourne is probably about 6 weeks.
Right.
Yeah. So I've got workshops tomorrow and Saturday, so I was kind of hoping to have it for that, but no joy so far. And then I had this idea for a box opening video that I'd ever seen done before.
Right.
I thought I'd do a box opening of the 360 camera using my other 360 camera.
Okay.
So I'd have a 360 box opening of a 360 camera.
Right.
Which is going to be different. Yeah, it's gonna. I just learnt tonight, just literally tonight, that every 60 seconds on YouTube, there's 6,000 hours of content uploaded.
Yeah, it's crazy.
6,000 hours every 60 seconds.
Wow.
So even if I did the box opening video, it may get a bit lost.
Yeah, just a chance.
Just a bit. That's kind of been my week. But before we go on to your week and stuff, I want to get this out nice and early. I have a Shutters Inc. exclusive.
Oh, okay.
A world first here on our radio show.
Right.
Or potty internet radio, this thing that
podcast.
We do.
Yes.
That's the one. Tomorrow afternoon.
Well, that's pointless because this podcast will not come out till Sunday.
I know. That's why they let me say it.
Right.
Tomorrow afternoon, Tamron are announcing a new lens.
Right.
It's the new 100 to 400, 4.5 to 6.3 zoom lens.
100 to 400. Nice.
100 to 400. And this is the new awesome build quality that their latest series of lenses have all been renowned for. Now, there is a photo of it online already, of course, on nikonrumors.com.
Right.
But it's definitely, I can assure. Guarantee 100% tomorrow it's being released.
Right. So tomorrow being Friday the 15th.
That's exactly right. So no one's actually going to know.
Yeah.
That is, but we did get it first.
Yeah, nice.
So that's kind of a bonus.
Yeah.
Something.
Cool.
They sent me out the press release. I haven't actually opened it because it was too, my internet is going diabolical.
They haven't sent you a preview copy of the lens.
No, but so I'm doing my workshop on Saturday at the Tamron head office,
right?
In their warehouse and stuff.
So they'll have one there.
No, it's not out yet. But they've got a little pile of new lenses for me anyway. So I'm getting the new 150, well, the semi new 150 to 600. Finally, I'm getting my new 24.
You already had that.
No, they've loaned it to me, but not they've had no stock. The things are so damn popular.
Yeah, right.
They can't get stock. I've got my new 24 to 70 arriving finally, and getting my 18 to 400.
18 to 400, wow.
18 to 400, yeah. So which is a corker of a lens for crop sensor cameras, of course.
Yep.
So I'm doing a workshop there, and there'll be a little pile of goodies there for me.
Nice.
So it's not bad at all. I should go there more often. Yeah, so anyway, so that's all my news for the. How's your week been? Has it been exciting?
Well, last weekend, Kath and I went up to Dave's place up in the Blue Mountains, and Dave and I recorded some more material for his next album, and then we drank a lot of red wine and had lots of laughs and ate food. Yeah, and then this week back at work, haven't had any photography stuff arriving from eBay, which is a bit ordinary because there's more stuff that's meant to be coming, but just hasn't arrived yet. Yeah, that's about it, really.
That's disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah.
No stuff arriving. No. How was the podcast last week? Was it fabulous for that?
That was fine. We recorded with David Marland.
I know.
Just before.
Because he was with me for the weekend, of course.
That's right. He said he was going off to help you. So, yeah, that was good. Yeah, that's about it.
Scintillating.
Yes, exactly. moving on to the stories. I saw this week. And I've spoken about the RX series of Sony cameras in the past.
Yeah,
I was excited by the 2 when it came out, and then the 3 came out, and that was pretty amazing. And now they've announced the RX 10 Mark IV. And if I had the money to go and spend on a camera purely for travel purposes, I reckon this is something like what I would buy because it's just brilliant. What?
Well, it's got potential.
Yeah.
24 to 600. It's quite a decent range. Yeah. I'd like something a little bit wider. I'd rather have 15 to 400.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really care too much about that massive 600 because it's so hard to handhold anyway.
Oh, you wouldn't handhold at that distance.
Yeah, so as a traveling account, I don't want to put it on a tripod, dude.
Why not?
Because I want something small and light to carry around. I'm not going to be carrying a tripod as well. The whole point of this camera would be not to have to carry all the stuff. And if all of a sudden you're carrying a tripod as well, it seems to me to be defeating the purpose.
Nah, you see, I would never travel without a tripod.
Oh, yeah, but you're that type.
Apparently so. the thing is, I don't think it's even APS-C. I think it's a smaller sensor than that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's tiny, yeah.
Yeah. So you're not going to be doing, shallow depth of field portraiture with it.
No.
But as a travel camera, it'd be a pretty awesome little beast, I think.
Yeah, but not if you're going to carry a big tripod with it.
Okay. I'll put a link in the show notes for anyone that wants to go and have a look at it.
No, I'm saying it's not a good camera, but I just don't really carry a tripod.
Because I'd like to carry a tripod and some filters and, occasionally do some slow shutter speed stuff. And
but it is interesting. Just looking at it, there's a proxy video mode. Right.
Right.
That captures a 720p stream alongside the 4K footage.
Right.
To speed up the editing workflow.
Nice.
That's interesting, isn't it? So you edit the 720 footage and just transpose all those settings onto the 4K footage.
That's great.
That's a clever idea, isn't it?
Yeah. See, I use Sony Vegas for my video editing, and it has a proxy mode where it'll take your high-res video and create proxies out of it. So that you can work with proxies for your timeline editing, so you're not having to play back high-res footage during the editing phase, but then when you come to render, it then does go back to the original high-res footage. But the idea of the camera doing that for you means you don't have to spend the time in your non-linear editor creating those proxies out of your high-res stuff because you've already got it. That's great.
It's already there ready for you, yeah.
Nice.
Very smart. Very smart indeed.
Adam sent us a couple of stories, and the first one, I'll be honest,
Adam. Adam who, sorry?
Yeah, that one, Davidson. To be honest, I was expecting to be underwhelmed by this story. So the headline is Robert Irwin, Steve Irwin's 13-year-old son.
Crikey!
Is an amazing photographer. And I thought, is this just going to be one of those things that because he's dad was famous, he's a quasi-celebrity, and because he's picked up a camera, people are just going to make a big song and dance out of it. I went and looked at the photos. This kid is shooting some really nice wildlife stuff. And for a 13-year-old, I say good on him.
Good on him.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. I was impressed.
13-year-old, all the money in the world.
Just
a little brat.
The second story that Adam sent us was about a photographer and model, and it's an Australian photographer, by the way, who were arrested for shooting nudes at the Luxor Temple in Egypt without a permit. Not that they could have got a permit even if they'd wanted it. they were trying to sneak around and not be caught by the guards, and they were unsuccessful in that endeavour and ended up being busted and spent a night in the jail, apparently. So Adam made the comment, I shoot the occasional location art nude image, but I'd never risk shooting anywhere that has historical / religious / cultural significance to anyone, which is a fair point.
So Adam shoots at Black Rock quite a bit.
Right.
Which is a sacred Aboriginal site. You're going to stop now, Adam.
You're a horrible man.
It's true, though.
Is it? I'll take your word for it.
I may be taking that without actually any evidence.
Right. I may have just made that fact up at the...
But, you know, just because I made it up doesn't mean it's not true. I'd Google it. The internet's going so slow I can't open anything.
Yeah. And the last one that I had from our listeners was from Steve Peters. And Steve only posted this about 5 minutes before we started recording, so I apologise for not having had a chance to read the story, Steve. But this was another or a follow-up on the closure of L&P Photographics here in Sydney. And the heading is L&P loss, a double blow for photography. I sort of skimmed through the article and it had something to do with the fact that the premises that L&P were based in used to be the studio of quite legendary Australian photographer Max de Payne. But I haven't read what the double blow for photography is. I don't know if it's that they're going to knock the building down or something. Or like I said, I just haven't had a chance to read the story. So I'll put the link in the show notes and anyone that is interested in that, have a read.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Steve, next week I'm finally getting to Tasmania. So you book your tickets then.
Isn't Steve Peters based in Brisbane?
Yeah, but he's coming to Tassie for my Tassie weekend.
Oh, okay.
But he messaged me last week, before last weekend's event, saying, I'm looking at booking tickets this weekend. Can you let me know what's happening? I haven't had time. So next week, I'm on to it. Well, so the other thing I'm going on at the moment, I've had a busy week this week because my wife's car she bought has had ongoing faults for many years.
Right.
I'm now in arguments with the dealership and the manufacturer to buy the vehicle back. So it's a big hassle. She bought it brand new, yeah.
Right.
And has had faults for it's 5 years of life.
Wow.
And so we're in this fighting negotiation stage at the moment about what value they will give us, a full refund, a quarter refund, a tenth refund, a half. It's a fight. Right. So wow. I've been sort of busy fighting the good fight too. So
right.
Anyway, what do I have? My mate Simon Pollock. You know Simon?
No, I don't. I've heard the name, but I don't know him.
He's the social media manager for a whole bunch of photo people around the world, like Think Tank and Tamron Australia and Alan Crom and Three Legged Thing and Munga. He also runs runs Digital Photo School's Facebook page.
Oh, okay, yep.
But anyway, he put a thing. He's been playing with this new thing called specular lights.
Right.
It's an LED lighting kit. From the same people who bought you the Light Blaster, which we talked about a few years ago, and I was really interested in, and I've never got around to getting one to play with.
Okay.
The Light Blaster was basically a thing you shove on the end of your flash, and then put like a 50mm lens on the end so it focuses the light, and you put these little, you can put little slides and little pattern shapes in it, those cool patterns and shapes and on your wall.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, so that they do that, but they've also brought out this new modular LED lighting system called Specular,
right?
Which I think looks really, really cool.
Oh wow!
Yeah, it's very innovative.
Right. So essentially, it's a series of short strip lights that you can stick together and make different shapes with.
Yeah.
And it's called Specular because when you look at the sample images in the blog post, they've got three very narrow panoramic sort of aspect ratio shots of a model's eyes, and you get all the different specular highlights in her eyes based on the shape.
I've never made a connection to the name and specular light. Is that funny?
Really?
Well, just how little my brain's been working lately.
But that's really cool. Like, 'cause you can see the shapes of the lights in her eyes. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's a very cool looking light system. So once again, you can make your light source bigger by making it like a big loop shape. You can do all sorts of things. You can make the wraparound lights. There's a lot of innovative idea around what you could play with that light. So
yeah.
I'm trying to find someone to send me some samples to play with, but they look really cool.
Yeah.
Secondly, I haven't had time to look at this yet, but I'm going to try and find some at some stage. But Joey Lawrence has released a new documentary on the war against ISIS.
Right. Born from Urgency.
Yeah. And look, pretty much anything Joey L does, I've got time to look at because he's a phenomenal photographer. Absolutely. Yeah.
So is he a combat photographer?
No. If you don't know Joey Lawrence, a lot of people do know Joey Lawrence, but if you don't know Joey Lawrence, look up his work. He does some phenomenal commercial stuff. He's a commercial photographer, but then he goes out and does his own private shooting stuff and things like indigenous tribes around the world in like Somalia India but his work is stunning. Just beautifully done. Yeah. It's all shot with Elenchrome lights. Elenchrome light modifiers anyway, and they're like phase one cameras, so the detail, the textures, but his post-production work with his color grading and stuff is fabulous.
So
he does some really, really cool stuff. So I'm going to sit down at some point and I might try and download this documentary and try and watch it on the plane somewhere or something like that.
Yeah, nice.
But my favorite one of his so far is Beyond, which is his trip to Varanasi in India. When he's quite a few years younger. That's a good one to watch, and it's a bit of an eye-opener for him, but some phenomenal shots out of it.
Yep.
So that's Joey L's, his latest thing. Definitely worth having a gander at, I would say.
Cool.
My mates at Godox have released a new trigger this week.
Oh, okay.
Which is, it's more of a...
Oh, a commander.
It's a commander. It's a boosted up version of the existing triggers, but a lot more, much bigger LED screen, much more sort of stable. The problem with the old ones, you could knock the buttons kind of easy.
Oh, okay. And,
yeah, if you knock the buttons, you could change channel or do stuff like that. So this is a much nicer looking thing. But this thing's absolutely amazing looking. Mm-hmm. Looks like it does an amazing amount of stuff, and its launch price is $80.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy cheap.
That's nothing.
Wow.
So just tonight, I just shot an email off to them tonight saying, can I get a couple of those before I go to India? It'd be really good.
Yeah.
If they're available by then, I'm not sure when they're released, but it'd be kind of cool to take a couple of those.
Yeah. And just before you move on, this is the Godox X Pro, and it does TTL as well.
Yeah, they all do. All the Godox ones do. So it does TTL, does high speed sync, does full manual control for $80.
That is crazy. Crazy talk.
It's cray cray. I think it's the official terminology. So that's really. And then the next one's this guy who turned a camper into a portable dark room and giant camera.
Oh, nice. I love the way he decorated it. That's
really
great.
Too. That's what I liked it the most about it. It was so cool.
That is awesome.
So I thought that was pretty funny stuff. I haven't read it. I've just looked at the pictures. A bit like Playboy, really. can't do that anymore. Now it's just the articles. What's the point of that?
That's right.
Speaking of DJI, from our drones from before, I think this is only applicable in America.
Right.
But DJI are doing a thing with National Geographic. They're doing a photo competition for aerial photography. But you can go into the draw to be one of hundreds of people who get to hire a DJI Mavic Pro for free from the DJIs to go out and do your shots.
Wow.
To enter the competition.
Nice.
It's quite amazing. Yeah, it's quite amazing. And you think it's going to let a lot of people a lot of people are going to get the chance to get into testing what a drone's like and how good they work. I mean, I was out with the kids tonight, the local, they're playing a bit of basketball and down ball and playing around the swings. I took the kids out this afternoon, took the drone out. I did a seriously cool shot of my eldest kiddo just running about the throat. She throws a ball in the air. I've shot from space from above. Beautiful late afternoon sun. This really elongated shadow, which is her leaping in the air.
Yep.
You see the ball going off in one direction and the shadow of the ball going off the other direction. And it's such a cool little shot. And once again, it's all just from mucking around with a drone. Such a completely different perspective than what I'm used to, and I'm just messaging it to you. That's actually
The image
on your phone. But that's actually the Instagram one. It's a little bit cropped, so you can't see the shadow of the ball. But it's like if you actually spent some time with someone who could really move,
you
could do, at the right time of day, you could do some pretty darn seriously cool looking stuff model shoots from the air, you know. I'm going to have to experiment with this some point. Because it's a heap of fun too, you know.
Yeah, nice.
Nothing wrong with having fun. It's allowed.
Yeah, no, I'm just looking at the image. Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah. And once again, that's in probably 40-kilometer-an-hour winds.
Seriously?
Yeah, so incredibly steady for going so...
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that you can be shooting at that sort of, and the thing's buffeting everywhere. You can see it fighting to hold place against the wind,
yeah.
And there's high wind warnings on the control all the way through it.
Yeah,
and the photo still steady as a rock, you know, which is very cool. Yeah, and that's it for me, I think.
Yeah, nice.
Right?
Was that really?
Oh no, there's one
HDR
other thing.
HDR portraits.
Yeah, and this is what's wrong with the bloody internet. Go have a look at this. Go have a look at this link. Go look at this damn link for me.
Right.
Oh, people give me the Tom Tits. This guy's gone to all the effort of putting this blog post using HDR for portraits.
Oh, what?
One crappy photo made even crappier with HDR.
Yeah.
And this is his blog. This is a whole post that's made it onto the freaking internet news services and stuff. It's like, it's diabolical. It's a... average shot to start with, made worse.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? And I mean, if there's 6,000 hours of content being loaded to YouTube every 60 seconds, surely there's something, one piece of information more interesting in the world of photography than that piece of crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mind you, I did read this big, I thought, oh, this sounds good. This one guy complaining to Canon about where's your innovation gone. And I thought, oh, this could be an interesting read because it said, I've been a very, 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 very long time user and blah, 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 blah. He started in 2008.
Right.
You know? I'm sorry.
This is the internet era, mate. That's a lifetime.
That's not a very, 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 very long time, you know? It's like, really? Anyway,
that's funny.
So that's it for me. I'm done. I'm done like a dog's dinner.
Awesome, mate. Well, all right. Well, you have a good week.
Yep, I will. A couple of workshops. It's always a good thing to keep my brain ticking along.
Excellent. We'll speak with you next week.
Yeah, you will. Bye, everybody.
See you, mate. All righty. It must be time for David Marland. What do you got for us this week, mate?
Thanks, Bruce. In the second half of the 19th century, the science of astronomy was revolutionized by photography. This revolution was not simply about replacing an astronomer's eye with a photograph. It was much more profound. Because the photograph provided a fixed view in time, and long exposures could record much more than sketches drawn by eyeball observations. But there's more. Photography heralded new types of analysis. The spectrum of these tiny dots of light could be analysed for their constituent elements. Time sequences revealed distant supernovae and reliable data on variable stars. In this exciting time, it also became possible to split astronomy into distinct stages, collecting the data and analysing the data. And these activities could take place hundreds of kilometres apart and be performed by different people. Observations made in South America, and the photographs sent to Harvard for analysis. Amidst this rapidly changing scene, and right at the forefront, was a remarkable group of astronomers managed by Edward Pickering at Harvard. Most of this group were women, which was quite remarkable for the time, and furthermore, the money that paid for all this research came from a woman. At first, the women at Harvard were computers, people whose task it is to perform simple mathematical operations or analysis, but they soon became responsible for developing entirely new analytical techniques and some of the most important discoveries of astronomy, and laid the foundations for our current view of the universe. Edward Pickering was, for his time, a strong supporter of these women, allowing them to be recognised for their discoveries, and gave them lead authorship of papers, enabling them to undertake PhD studies, to be full members of international associations, and win scientific prizes. And all this before they got the vote in the United States. Just to give you a flavour, I'm going to sneak a bit from the blurb of the book. A Scottish woman came to the observatory as a maid, pregnant and alone, but went on to identify 10 novae and more than 300 variable stars. A partially deaf young woman found astronomy a solace after the death of her beloved mother and designed a stellar classification system that was adopted the world over and is still used today. After a lecture about an eclipse, a Cambridge student wrote down its every word from memory and didn't sleep for 3 nights. Her passion was lifelong, and she eventually became Harvard's first female professor of astronomy. These remarkable women and the story of what made it possible, the photographs, are told in a book by Dava Sobel, The Glass Universe. The title plays both on the glass plates of the photographs, of which there are hundreds of thousands sitting in Harvard that are still used today, and of course the glass ceiling that women have had to face over many years. I found this a really good read. On Book O, The Glass Universe, The Hidden History of Women Who Took the Measure of the Stars, by Dava Sobel, published by the Fourth Estate, is in paperback between $19 and $41, and hardback between $20 and $56. Cheers.
Awesome. Thank you very much, David. All right, that will do it for another week. And until I speak with you again, take care.
ShuddersInkPodcast.com.
Another audio2.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShuddersInkPodcast.com.